It's Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2006. You're listening to the Pod Report, and we're going to be bringing global justice straight to your ear. It's Tuesday, the 20th of February. You're listening to the Pod Report. It's Andy Parnell here, the host for the show. And I'm going to today talk to you about a few things. But firstly, I thought I'd let you know that I haven't been podcasting for a while. I've been a bit busy. And no doubt you've probably been missing the show. So I hope we can make up for lost time and get back on track. I probably will be podcasting about once a fortnight, I believe. Once a week if I can, if I can't. And I do have some busy times coming up. For example, I'm touring two producers, fair trade producers. One from Zambia, who's a beekeeper by the name of Gibson. And another one from Zimbabwe, who's a crafts producer, part of a crafts cooperative from Zimbabwe, and her name is Martha. And anyway, I'm touring them around for Fair Trade Fortnight around Mid Wales. So if you are in Mid Wales, they'll be coming to a venue near you. But anyway, I have been a bit busy lately, so bear with me. And on to some subjects at hand. So tonight I've got in store for you three fairly major interesting victories. I've also got I'm looking after a dog at the moment by the name of Archer. Archer, come here. Archer. There's a black Labrador. It's really beautiful. Anyway, what was I saying? Yes, that's right. Some three interesting issues tonight. The first one is that the Great Bear Rainforest in Canada, a large section of that has been saved. And more on that later. But another one, the toxic warship, the Clemenceau, which is a French ship. It was taking asbestos. It was taking asbestos back over from France to be dumped in good old India as part of their ship breaking operations. And anyway, Greenpeace did a big direct action and in the end got the old warship to be turned around back to France. So a bit more on that in a sec. And the third one is that the Amazon rainforest in South America, in Brazil in particular, a large section of that has been saved. And I'll give some details in just a moment. Okay, so here's a song by Paula Toledo, who's from Canada, and you can check out her website. It's www.paulatoledo.com, all one word, in Paula Toledo. And this song's called Joan. Nice little song here. Hope you'll enjoy it. And then I'll be back to talk about the big issues.
Hard to relax in In the back of your mind, you know that winners can't finish last. But I love you to stay wide apart. You're the last of the great, genuine kind. I love you to stay wide apart. The petals falling from your hair, so pretty when you're wild. So, are you still in your room? So, did the walls cave in and crush it? Silence by static going on in your head while you're missing the frequency, so you turn it off and lay still instead. Are you paralyzed by what you can't breathe? You try so hard to relax. In the back of your mind, you know that you can't get off this beaten path.
So let's deal with the first issue, the issue of the Great Bear Rainforest. Now this is going back a few weeks now. It was on the 7th of February 2006. But it was a massive victory in the Great Bear Rainforest by Greenpeace Canada. And the success is in British Columbia, where the government has protected a third of the Great Bear Rainforest from loggers. So it's just reading directly from this, just so that you can get an idea of the scale of what's happened. It's rare that success comes on such a scale, so this is one worth celebrating. The provincial government of British Columbia in Canada has announced the protection of 2 million hectares of ancient forest from strict ecological with strict ecological management for the rest. That's pretty good. It's the impressive result of a 10-year campaign fought by a coalition of environmental groups, including Greenpeace, Forest Ethics, Rainforest Action Network, and the British Columbia chapter for the Sierra Club. The victory means 33% of the rainforest will be permanently protected, an area twice the size of America's Yellowstone National Park. By 2009, the remainder will only be open to loggers who maintain a strict ecosystem based management system, making exploitation of the forest's natural resources totally sustainable. The world's last ancient forests need a global network of protected areas to survive, said Gavin Edwards, Global Forest Campaign Coordinator at Greenpeace International, and the Great Bear Rainforest is a good start. So I just want to kind of put this into perspective. I mean, we're talking about a huge chunk of British Columbia's forest. And for the government to do this, and, you know, you think, okay, well, it's just making it up, you know, kind of, it's just kind of saying that, but really, logging will continue. Well, I hope that's not true. And it seems like the government's promised 120 million, I guess that's Canadian dollars, promised to fund conservation in the area too. So I think it's a major step forward by the British Columbian government. And this is the kind of, I guess, victory that people in the environmental movement have been fighting for a long, long time. The benefits, of course, are going to be immense. You've got things like your wolves, your goshawks, your grizzly bears, your black bears, your white spirit bears, and no less than 20% of the world's salmon, for example, as well as 1,000-year-old cedar trees and ancient spruce. And in addition, 25 First Nations traditional territories also include the Great Bear Rainforest. We will be involved in the management of the lands. So it's giving rights back to the forest peoples, to the First Nations peoples, and also it's giving a real protection for both animals and plants in the region, not just the forest. And of course, you know, the benefits will come, tourism no doubt will prosper and so on, hopefully ecotourism. And, you know, I have to hand it to them because, let's put it this way, that the logging industry, I've been told by Canadian activists over there, is about as bad, if not worse, than the Australian logging industry. So real kind of anti-green everything, basically, anti-environmentalist, that the logging industry in Canada in particular is notoriously bad and will go to some quite violent lengths, it has to be said, to basically stop any environmental, what they call an environmental threat, that is, environmentalists trying to save the forest that they're chopping down. And they'll go to great lengths. I mean, there's been all sorts of pretty severe actions going on over there where, you know, campaigners have been beaten up and all sorts by loggers. So this is a major step forward, and let's get this right. It's a step in history. Make no doubt about this. This is a major step in history. At last, it shows that mankind, when they want to, can use their wisdom, not just their intelligence, to do the right thing and save what's left of our ancient forests. While I'm on the issue of forests, I'm not going to talk about the other great victory of history. I'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to talk about this warship. Now, France sent across an asbestos-laden warship called the Clemenceau, I guess you'd pronounce that. And we're talking about, you know, massive, big ship, no doubt about it, pretty huge. It's got this deadly asbestos, and they were going to do shipbreaking in India. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but shipbreaking in India is done by hand. It's done by thousands of people on the ground, impoverished workers, going in, breaking up the ship, climbing high up, and carrying the parts off the ships to the salvage yard, basically, no doubt about it, on their back, on their, on their heads. So, you know, this is not a kind of an automated operation or whatever. This is done by lots and lots of Indian workers breaking up the ship. Now, you can imagine what kind of things the asbestos, the PCBs, the lead and the mercury and the other toxic chemicals that is involved in shipbreaking, what happens to these impoverished workers when they're handling this stuff. Now, okay, you could say that poverty could kill them, and that's true, and sure, they need jobs and all that, but the way it's done in India is very much no workers' rights, no health and safety, and certainly it's ridiculous to send a ship halfway across the world to get broken up in a country far, far away. Basically, what they're doing, what France was doing, was dumping its toxic warship in a developing country. And it's this kind of behaviour that just needs to stop. So, Greenpeace did a major action a few weeks ago, where they boarded the ship, and got the world's media attention and effectively turned the ship back. How did they do that? Well, it took the intervention of the French President Chirac to actually make a major announcement and recall the ship back to France. So, once again, another major victory. In India, there's been growing media and public scandals surrounding the Indian government permitting France to dump a ship full of hazardous waste in India. Indian courts ordered the ship to stay out of Indian waters pending a final ruling. Still, France kept the asbestos ship steaming towards India. As the Indian government dithered and the French government stubbornly insisted on the dumping plan, media interest intensified and levels of public anger in India and France increased with every day the ship continued to steam towards India. Chirac was due to visit India on the February the 20th, ironically, was yesterday. Today he announced that the warship would be turned around and head back to France. So, egg on face is what you call that. And let's hope we have more victories to try and stop rich governments dumping their nasty, toxic waste, and in this case, in the disguise of a ship, in developing countries where they just do not have the technology to safely and effectively deal with this toxic waste. All right, that's India. Major victory there. And let's hope more egg on face happens with these world leaders who turn a blind eye to this sort of thing. Finally, the victory of the century, as of 2006, this is the one that I reckon, other than the Great Bear Rainforest victory, I would say that this is victory number uno numero, number one. Without a doubt, here it is, huge Amazon area protected. Large area of the Brazilian rainforest sealed off from deforestation. Now, okay, I want to go back a step from what I've just said, and I know I've talked this up quite a bit. I guess the one thing is that the Brazilian government does not yet have the capacity to fully protect what it has declared that it would like to protect. But at least by presidential decree, it has decided to protect a large part of the Amazon rainforest. Now, so in other words, they haven't got the same kind of policing capacity that the Great Bear Rainforest would have with the Canadian government, but they certainly do have a big ambitious will. Now, this is coming at a time when the PT, that's the Lula government, has been seen in recent years to be doing a U-turn on a lot of its electoral promises. And one way of possibly placating the fears of the left, which is, by the way, most of the people in Brazil are very much that way orientated, and they voted him in only to find that his hands were tied due to various different types of things like $250 billion worth of debt hanging over his head and so on. And one of his electoral promises was to save the ancient rainforest in the Amazon. And I have to admit, I didn't hold up much hope with Lula because he had been reneging time and again on many of his electoral promises. But, okay, enough, without further ado, here's the victory of the century, the one that I believe is milestones ahead in the great protection that is needed, that environmentalists the world over, and not just environmentalists, but anyone who cares about the planet, whether you consider yourself a, quote, environmentalist, unquote, or not, will savour. Here it is, just 1 week after the excellent news about the Great Bear Rainforest comes another stunning victory with the announcement that a huge area of the Amazon rainforest will be protected from destructive logging. The Brazilian government is trumpeting the creation of presidential decree of new conservation units totaling 6.4 million hectares, an area twice the size of Belgium. The news comes only days after the first anniversary of the murder of Sister Dorothy Stang. Now, for those that don't know, Sister Dorothy Stang was she was a missionary out there. She was looking after the Indians. But it wasn't just the fact that she was doing sort of aid and welfare, but she was also heavily involved in protecting their rights. And their rights basically means protecting the forest. So she stood up to the mahogany mafia, the loggers, and so on. And in the name of the Amazonian Indians that she was looking after, made it very clear where the church should stand in Brazil. And it's interesting, actually, because Brazil's a rather interesting place in terms of religion and politics. But in particular, there's been this... in South America, there's been liberation theology, which is very much tied towards aiding the poor. And in this case, Sister Dorothy Stang certainly held up to those ideals. Anyway, she was assassinated as a result of her campaign to protect the rainforest and the communities that depend on it for their survival. And it's a great shame that she's not here to witness this protection, but it's certainly the sort of thing that people like... Paulo, who's one of the famous Greenpeace activists, Paulo Adario, forest campaigner, has been crying out for many, many years. And in fact, he's been he's had a price on his head for a long, long time. Anyway, I'll get back to that in a sec. So, of the area to be protected, 1.6 million hectares will be permanently protected and completely sealed off to loggers. Logging concessions will be available in another 2.8 million hectares where good management practices will be established to ensure sustainable and eco-sensitive practices. And a further 2 million hectares will see the benefit of improved development guidelines. So, okay, when it gets down to it, 1.6 million hectares is the one that's permanently protected. But even then, the other 4.8 million hectares is still going to have... a fair bit of protection, well, by law anyway, in terms of capacity to actually carry out that protection. That's another issue. But anyway, it's a great step forward, but much more is needed. And here's a quote from Paulo himself. "This is a great step forward, great step towards the protection and sustainable use of the world's last ancient forests, but it's only a fraction of what is needed." And the Amazon and the life it supports are seriously threatened by destructive logging and land clearance to grow crops like soy. We need more initiatives like this to save the world's last ancient forests. The Amazon rainforest is under threat from drought, fires, land clearance and illegal and destructive logging. The equivalent of 18 football fields are cleared every minute. And this has led to a dramatic loss of biodiversity as well as contributing towards climate change. The area to be protected in particular is particularly vulnerable to exploitation because a road that cuts through the region, the BR-163 in Pará State, is about to be paved. Now, I don't know about you, but I know what this means. It means opening up the forest to further soy plantations, cattle ranching, logging, and other forms of destruction. However, it is still another fantastic victory by the various different environmental organisations, including Greenpeace, of course. And next month sees the Convention on Biological Diversity being held in Brazil, a perfect opportunity for governments worldwide to make good on their promises and ensure the survival of more of the world's rapidly disappearing ancient forests. I do have a bit of a cold, so if I'm talking through my nose, you know, just bear with me. Right, so... three major victories in just 3 weeks. that's pretty good going. That's a good hit rate in my books. You can't get better than that. Well, you can. but it certainly brings a smile to my face. I've been campaigning long and hard to save, in particular the Amazon rainforest. For many, many years I've been trying to protect the Amazon rainforest, and certainly have taken part in many direct actions, and will continue to do so, and hopefully save more of this ancient forest. It's a great shame that, you know, it's the lungs of the world, it's where over 2/3 of all land-based species live. They live in the Amazon rainforest. And we're chopping it down at about a rate of about anywhere from 0.5% in some areas to 1% in other areas. So in other words, at an alarming rate of knots. Coupled with that, you've got climate change. Now, I think I've stated this before, but just in case I haven't, we've had the Amazon River dry up this time around, and that's not very usual. In fact, that doesn't happen very often at all, and I can't remember at any time since I've been campaigning on the Amazon for several decades, and many others no doubt have as well. I can't remember a time where the rain, the river itself has actually run dry. So where did all that water go? Well, it went on Katrina and Hurricane Rita and so on, and got dumped in Cuba and Mexico and, you know, Louisiana and places like that. And I hope that positive feedback effects don't happen at the rate that they're happening, and that doesn't become a common occurrence, because it would be a great shame to see this rainforest go. And if it does go, it also means the lungs of the world go. So we can't afford to cut this forest down. 20 million people live in the Amazon rainforest. Most of them are, I guess, half Indian and half Portuguese, or half Negro and half Portuguese, or half Indian and half Negro, and so on. So many different variations of those kind of nationalities within that region. And it's an extractive economy. A lot of people earn their living from either collecting things out of the forest and selling them on, or it could be that they're working on a ranch, or it could be that they're working for $10 a log, I think, if I remember rightly, except for the fact that they're having to pay for their tools, their accommodation, their food, and so on, and end up in what's known as debt bondage. And a lot of loggers that are cutting these forests down for the mahogany mafia are just ordinary, fairly poor, stricken workers. They're trying to feed their family. They're not, you know, evil people per se, but they're trying to feed their family. There's very little work up there, so when they go into the forest, they end up having to work for the mahogany mafia, and they get exploited. And of course, they end up in debt bondage, and they have to work for many, many years to pay that debt off. And in that period, they're virtually a slave. I mean, of course, the discussion a few weeks ago, was that we are all wage slaves. Well, I guess debt bondage is one worse, where you actually pay for the right to go to work. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine paying your employer to go to work? Well, that's what these people are doing. They're paying for their accommodation, they're paying for their booze, at exorbitant rates, mind you, at something like 3, 4, 5, 10 times the price even. And they're paying for the privilege of just barely putting enough food on the table for their family. And that's why they do it. It's either that or move south. And if you move south, who knows what happens. So many families can't afford to move south. So they have to work in this very nasty, ugly industry. So then what happens? Well, the logs get cut up. They end up in ships and barges. The certification is, the export license is faked normally. And guess where it ends up? Yep, you guessed it. Mahogany ends up in good old Britain. It ends up in other places like the USA as well and other parts of Europe. But in particular, since we're talking about Britain, because that's where I'm based, it comes into our ports and then ends up in garden stores as garden furniture, or it ends up as a table at Harrods, sold for something like £4,000 or £8,000. I can't quite remember the number, but it's quite a lot. And and the guy that's paid to chop it down gets paid about 10 quid. No, not even that, 10 US dollars. So that's where it ends up. And you think, well, okay, hang on. If it's illegal to chop those trees down and it's illegal to export it from Brazil outside of Brazil, which it is, why on earth is it legal for that mahogany, which is an endangered species, a threatened species, why on earth is that mahogany allowed to enter our ports and end up as garden furniture or other such thing? I'd like you to answer that one. Well, actually, it's funny because Greenpeace, a few years back, I was involved in helping to put this thing together. Went to the Court of Appeal to try and get this mahogany ban from entering into Britain. And it was based upon the CITES agreement, which is the Convention on Biological Diversity's agreement by all the international partners around the world, all the different countries. And we got one judge to vote in our favour, but the other two said that the World Trade Organization's conventions overrule the CITES agreement because it came later on. So the deal is, generally, if you're talking about international law, it's whichever international agreement is the latest one, overrules any previous agreements. That's generally the trend of international laws and convention and the way that the judges tend to rule it. So two judges to one voted in turning a blind eye to this, even though it's illegal to take it out of the exporter's country in the first place, which is Brazil. And it arrives in our ports, government turns a blind eye, and it goes into our stores. If you'd like to know more, I suggest maybe go to saveordelete.com and click on which is the Forest Campaign website for Greenpeace, and find out more. And certainly find out about these victories, about things like the... there's the Garden Furniture Guide, for example, on there. It's pretty good. It's pretty useful for Britain anyway. And it will take you to other sites and links, and you can find out more about what's going on in your part of the world, whether it's the African rainforests or the Asia-Pacific ones or the Russia and Central Asia ones or the European ones or North American ones or South American ones. And you can get more actives and understand the politics of timber. Right, that's probably enough for tonight, I hope. Let me just double check. Oh yeah, I've been talking for quite a while now, so I'm going to stop. Okay. Right, so we'll see you next time around. So this is a bit of an extended edition of the Pod Report. And don't forget, if you want to check out our website and leave some comments online, no worries. You can go to www.podreport.podomatic.com. And don't forget that if you want to help out and show your enthusiasm for the show, don't forget to hit the, if you've got a PayPal account, don't forget to hit the donate button and donate £1, £2, $3, 50 cents, whatever you can afford, you know. If you can afford anything, then go ahead, donate some cash that will go towards paying for all the online expenses, because it costs to host a site, and it should help towards paying some of the costs. Okay, right, I'm going to end it there, and we'll see you next week. I'm going to play a track by Paula Toledo called A Left to Stain. And no doubt, ciao for now. We'll see you next week, and or in the next few weeks anyway. And hope you all have a good time and keep active. Right, ciao for now.
Dogs out on me tonight, even though I already paid for my crime and all the battlefields that you stage will only get in the way of your rage. Haunts me like a ghost haunts a child.